Speaking Freedom presents Speaking Freedom Radio.
This is Speaking Freedom, and we walk the walk.
My mommy, she's my hero. She's the greatest in the whole world.
It's the love gang here, and you're in luck. If you've been hurt, then we'll fix you up. It's okay. Don't be afraid. Casey really knows her stuff.
Providing advanced spiritual studies and personal developmental insight. Brought to you by Love Gang and Speaking Freedom. We thank you and we look forward to helping you grow in all the areas of your life. We hope that you find all the information needed for your growth. God bless. Please listen to all disclaimers provided. If you are currently under physician's care, please maintain that relationship. It's not intended to stop your current treatment plan. If you need physician care, please seek out medical attention. Please note, all results are based on the individual's ability to adapt and adjust to any given environment and situation. We are not responsible for your results at Speaking Freedom. The Life Enhancement Coaches at Speaking Freedom provide information to help you grow. You are responsible for maintaining that growth, taking on and then applying the information to your individual life as you deem needed and necessary. May contain and explain explicit content. Please use parental discretion. For best results, you will need an open mind, the ability to research, and a balanced lifestyle.
Welcome to Speaking Freedom, healing hearts around the world. Please check your baggage and come right along this way.
Oh, you better come prepared. You scared, call the ramp.
I think that we should see a therapist.
I mean, black people don't go to therapy.
Regular therapy, there are limitations and things that you have to maintain in order to get your client to the desired outcome and destiny. However, with life coaching, especially with life enhancement coaching, we use the client to develop, to grow, and to bring out the best in themselves. We are simply a tool to help you learn how to make better decisions. Not just one decision, not just today, but for the rest of your life. Encouraging each person through each trial and tribulation.
Speaking freedom. Speaking freedom, giving you the answer to be free. Be free, free. Cause we're speaking freedom. And we're live, online, with my Casey.
Hey, everybody, you just tuned in to Speaking Freedom Radio, and I am your today. We gotta get. Oh yeah, I'm having this friend that we gonna pick here for everybody. So we're gonna talk about life, talk about maturity, and we're going to just talk about living, and hopefully we can get some good information from it by the time that we are finished with it. So just briefly, is it a day? Give me 1 second, everybody. I got my friend here. I know you can hear him talking in the background, but I got to make sure that he ain't muted. Got to get him. All right, I think we got you now.
Okay.
So, now I do have you to introduce yourself. Please introduce yourself again. We're in here.
My name is Ark. I have a wife, 5 children. I have a 22-year-old, a 21-year-old, a 14-year-old, 13-year-old, and 11-year-old. 3 boys and 2 girls.
Okay, so like I said earlier, I've been knowing you about 15, 16, maybe even 17 years from the military. Now, over the years, we have come to talk about a lot of different things. You always pick my brain, and we always have great, elaborate, collective discussions about a lot of different things. So today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some, because we're here to pick my brain today without it being productive. So what we're going to do is I want to, if you'd like to introduce yourself any other way other than saying that you have kids and that you are married, how long have you been married?
I think I chose that first because a father is the most important thing.
How long have you been married?
We've been together 17 years.
That's a long time. I've been knowing y'all ever since 17 years.
Yeah.
God damn. So with that, one of the things that we discussed earlier, we were beginning to discuss, is the difference in environments. And I was going to start with religion because it was a fresh topic that I had been discussing. So the thing I want to ask you is, just hypothetically speaking, what caused you, or what point in your life or marriage became a maturing point, and how did the environment play into that? I mean, I don't want it to be like an interview.
No,
I want it to be like a conversation.
I understand. I think like a man today, just in society today, if we don't stop for a second to self-evaluate ourselves, we will repeat behaviors that we done when we were younger men. I think what for me, what changed it and like changed and turned, I guess turned the page, was almost losing it. And with that, you know, you can point, like you start out and you point the finger. And it's like, well, because that's the younger thing to do.
So let me ask you a question. What helped you begin to recognize that you need to mature? Was there any thing or any one person or any, you know, that helped coach you along that?
Well, I had you. You know, and that's the thing. Like, you know, with you being my friend, I think that's what has taken our relationship. We've been friends so long. Because sometimes what you say, I may not like it, but you don't tell me based on whether I'm going to like it or not. You tell me based on your knowledge and the truth. You know what I'm saying? And the truth, like, even if you don't take the truth and adopt it immediately, it stays with you. And at some point, you have to face the truth. So when I'm facing the truth, everything that you've said all these years, it kind of like come to the top. I'm like, oh, she was, you know, that was the truth. So, you know, it's a process, man.
Well, and my goal is not to necessarily look at this you're right type of thing, but to see really honestly, like I always talk about how good I am as a coach and how beneficial it could be. But to have someone else to say, oh, no, this is really, really good,
yeah.
Influence or get me through or whatever the case may be, that makes a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
And with that making a huge difference, it opens up different doors with how you have to now adapt what the information is and how you went along with applying it to your own life. Like, it's easy for me to sit here and talk about it all day until I'm blue in the face. But when you have the opportunity to have somebody that say, okay, no, I really almost lost my wife, and these are the things, this is the narrative that helped me come to myself to realize, hey, you're losing it. You better pull it together. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm listening to you, but I'm here. Yeah, yes, I'm here.
So, I mean, so that's really so again, you can go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your story.
No, I was just saying, because I think change doesn't come from one specific thing. It's like a sequence of things. And I was just using the things that you, but also, like you were just mentioning, how coming close to death or a traumatic experience. My traumatic experience was, I guess it kind of made everything come full circle, was me realizing how much my family and my wife meant to me. And that was, and how I will feel not having it. You hear me? And then when that hit, then all the things that you've always told me, you know, just different people, you know, the different knowledge that you pick up in life. And then, like I said, you start out with the point finger because it's so easy. That's what kids do. Well, I didn't do it. You did it. But,
right.
And it's repeated until something traumatic happens to you. But I think. And then
you're forced to kind of grow up.
Right. You're forced to. It's like you can't keep pointing. Like at some point you got to say, okay, what part, or what role do I play in it? And when you go to doing that, you really begin to see how your choices and your decision making
really play
is the reason.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. It has been mature and become the person that I'm having this conversation with today because. Just in general, it's easy to have friends and you always see the bad or the shaky part, but to see a person actually grow into their highest self and then still be able to have conversations about everything up under the sun and be able to recognize and identify. Now, of course, it helps that you have that period, but, in general, and then especially from a man. So, we was having a conversation earlier about what made you decide to want to live in a more urban area that is where success, black success especially, is common and you can see it and it makes it seem more attainable. I know you were saying that you had your children and they were here and they hadn't seen some of the stuff that may be common for a successful area, especially with black people now. I'm going to be honest with you. When I lived in Phoenix, you just didn't see that many
people. Right.
I think showed me a lot about hospitality and being nice for no reason and things like that. But nothing surpassed what I experienced black success here in Atlanta.
True.
It's different. It was different
True.
Even living in
True.
Florida. And people look at you strange because you have a big house and you're black.
True.
Versus here.
That's the norm, right?
You probably be looked at more strange for not being successful because
Correct.
Success
right.
is so common here.
Well, you know, as a parent, you want to equip your children not just to survive today or in 5 years, but in 20 years when I'm dead and gone. And I feel like that's like I was telling you earlier, you know, if I tell my children, yeah, hey, you can do this and you can do this, but I'm in an environment where they don't see this, they're not. That's like saying, hey, there's a unicorn out there.
So what would be the difference between living in a place where do you think it's not realistic if you're not, like, physically able to have it there where you can touch it, feel it, see it, like, firsthand versus if it's long-distance social media or something like that? Is one more realistic for another, especially at a young age?
Repeat that. That was yeah, that was a damn question. Come again.
Look, you had your little shot now. You're bouncing, got a little screwed. Okay, so the question is, what type of difference do you think that it makes being in, like, okay, so what's the difference between you looking at it on them seeing it on Instagram? Do you think that it makes it they actually see it firsthand versus them seeing it any other way?
That's like if you watch something on TV, right? You know, you see it on TV and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, they're doing that out there. You hear me? But if you're not seeing this in your everyday life, and what I mean, that's like TV. You say kids watch 4 to 6 hours, even 6 to 8 hours nowadays, you know, with social media and everything, right? But they're living every day in their environment. You know what I mean? And when they're going outside of their home and they don't see this nowhere around on a daily basis, that... It's kind of like, yeah, I see them doing it on TV. They're like, yeah, it could happen. But when you in an environment where the moment they walk out of their house, they see this daily, you hear me? They see this everywhere. Then, oh, yeah, they know that that's more than achievable because that's the environment they're in. And see, that's the thing, like, I've been felt, well, that's like me. Okay, I was born in a small country, you know, rural place. But my mother moved me to an urban place when I was about 12 years old. I noticed at 15, 16, you know, you're getting a little older, you notice the difference in your personality in that urban area and in that rural area. Yet, I didn't realize, like, how critical it was for my mom to expose, just the exposure that I got, how that changed me for the better. Because
do you think that having that, like, I mean, of course you need to go places and see things, but the difference between going somewhere and seeing something versus residing there. I mean, like, so do you go to Dubai so your kids can, and do you move to expose your child to something different? Or is it limited to American culture? That's the question. Now, this is not intended to be an interview. This is intended to be a conversation.
So you said, do I think, okay, hey, would I go as far as to say that in order to expose my kids, move?
Would you move around the country to give it, I mean, like, to say to be here will help you make your kids better?
Well, you know what? Honestly, financially, if I was able to, you know, live in different places, you know, and take and travel, you know, I probably would, because I feel like the more exposure you get, the more worldly and cultured you'll be, you know.
I mean, and I can understand that, because I always think about, you know, if I could put my children in homeschool and then we could just travel.
Right.
And I mean, yeah, you're going to be going to school, but we'll be able to move around and do a little bit more, and the money that we're spending on school uniforms or school clothes, that could be money that we're putting into going somewhere and
seeing these different things.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. but yeah.
Clothes, but if you have,
it's a lot of expenses put into.
It's a lot of expenses.
Yeah. Right.
Extra classes they get, whatever,
just,
you know what I'm saying? The shit that they have to buy throughout the school year. You spend way more than, like, school is a whole marketing thing at this point.
It really is. It's a business.
Yeah, it's not even about education. Yeah. It's about the things that you can push while the situation is present.
Right.
It's, you know, like, and then most of the information that's being taught, for most part, isn't all even accurate. When they go to history and social studies, and then you need many more other narratives that you need to introduce to children, like psychology and understanding to love themselves and, you know, just things that at this point, in this day and age,
it's crucial to their survival. Right.
Like, literally, it is survival of the mentally fittest. And
exactly.
A lot of these children are coming up in broken homes and environments. So, but the thing is moving to a city that has different visuals won't necessarily change the outcome of a child.
No, it won't. You know what? No, it won't. It would just, the more, it's like this, I take, for example, like, say a warrior kid, you know, a warrior. All he knows is to fight and be a warrior. If he's not exposed to, hey, you don't have to do this, or, you know, it's other avenues to where, you know, to where it ain't just
survival versus thriving.
Right. It's going to be better, but, and that's all I'm saying. It's like, you know, you can take your kids anyway. You know, I say it all the time. I say, well, hey, you can put your kid in the best environment, and that kid is going to do and be who he wants to be ultimately. But I feel like you give him a better chance to understand all the options when exposing him to different things. You see what I'm saying? Whereas if I expose him to only this, or that's all they're going to know. You know, I remember when I first moved to Georgia, like I said, I was 12 years old. In all honesty, talking to Caucasians, white people, when I talked to them, I mumbled. But I mumbled because I wasn't used to having a conversation with them. I hadn't been exposed to them. I think, you know, my school that I went to was, we may have had 10, you know, Caucasians. And this is the thing, when school let out, they lived here. I'd never seen them. I had no idea where they lived. Whereas when I got to Georgia, it was like, okay, you know, you got white kids next door to black kids, like to Asians, to Hispanics, to where, but I couldn't, I was hesitant to talk to them, not because I didn't know.
What age was you when you moved here?
I was 13. I was 12. I was 13 years old.
So do you think that you're putting your children in that same, behind the same curve that you was in?
No, because I learned through that experience that, like, yo, and then, you know, also with the military, you know, that was another, like I said, certain events in my life that brought me to this point. But when I got to the military, it was a PT test for a run. And, you know, the black guys were running. Hey, I was a little winded. It was this one little short white guy from Oklahoma that we probably never talked before. He turned around and came back, was like, come on, we're going to make it together. You know, so I realized even my military service, they're like, hey, you can't really judge a man by the color of his skin.
I mean, a lot of those rednecks that we was in Kansas with, especially, they was cool as fuck. Even the ones that had Confederate flags,
right.
Even the ones that were in places here where you think people think Confederate flag and they automatically think racist. And I know, like, I know at least white dude that used to work in a motor pool that had the shit, but it didn't mean nothing.
He
acted some way.
Right. So, you know, with my children, I teach them, like, yo, you know, but I can say it all day to them.
Yo, but you ain't saying nothing coming out your mouth.
Well, no. What I'm saying is I teach them that, like, you know, I can say it all day, but if I don't put them in an environment where they're, handy, you know.
I mean,
yeah.
I understand that because I know when I lived in Arizona, I would have never once thought that it was a place that really didn't have a whole bunch of black people or a handful of black people to where people would be surprised and happy as a black person to see another black person. Like, oh, nigga, you don't see people like you around here. And you'd be like, it would be like you knew them because you didn't. It was so rare to see somebody. Go learn one history. But I learned that people can be nice to you for no reason, not want nothing in return, and they're just nice people. And it I don't have to be with the chef and over the top.
Right.
And I actually think that going there and then visiting California, but living in Arizona for a year and a half, visiting California, visiting other places, and then being in the military, and then coming back to Atlanta, it made me a little bit less tolerant. It made me a little bit, I'm not with the shit, dying for a whole bunch of drama and stuff, because in those environments,
you realize that that don't have to be.
That's not mandatory. In other environments, they don't have those issues. In other environments, they are in relationships. Now, there are people that have family dysfunction and family issues, but the type of shit that I see and
totally different, Right. Well, it's genuinely because they wanted to help you. It's genuinely because they wanted to help you. It wasn't no ulterior motive behind it.
But we're on the East Coast, people. In the entertainment world and sports and entertainment, and when I say entertainment, I mean like all of it. On the East Coast, especially with the social media and the mass marketing and all these money things that people are doing, I see it more on the East Coast than I do from people on the
West
Coast.
It's a grind, right?
So
cutthroat.
But if you know what the difference is, you're dealing with, if when I think about it, I think about, okay, we got this, this is the Bible Belt, where all the slaves things started.
This
is where the whole system of slavery,
the whole wickedness,
this is the mindset, I want to say, of the whole East Coast, making the Midwest to all where slaves, where Spain was in, they've been cool. That was always cool land. When it come over here beyond where Spain was, where all the land that they just, you know what I'm saying, was took forcefully. In those times, they and all of the land that they gotta get over, gotta put myself above my neighbor, even though we trying to get from the same place, to the same place, really helping.
Dog,
but I never felt like that.
Well, you know,
and I may be wrong to say it's not in California. I just didn't feel it.
You know
like
what? I would agree, because I feel like California, like most of the people that went out to California was pioneering. Those were people that were different, you know, they wanted different, you know, and didn't want to go with what was going on in that area. And I think that's why you get a lot of that over there. You know, those people went out and took a risk, whereas these people just stay, like you said.
And they adapted to, if they was white, then they went ahead with the white supremacy or the slavery, or even if they wasn't a white supremacist or a slave master, they rejected enough to stop it and banish it from going on, so they was okay with it. It was like, okay, well, if that's what y'all gonna do, then hell, all right.
Hey, I got a friend. You know what? Every morning, her post, she says, silence is consent. And microaggressions are still aggressions. She posts those two quotes every morning. Like what you were just saying. If you don't say nothing, you may as well say it's okay. Silence is consent. And you know, you got so many people, oh, well, I didn't want to do this. So I would, you know, microaggressions are still aggressions.
But that's what I think that's what, that was something that we was talking
about. Oh. Really fit right.
Saying what you feel can solve so many issues instead of I've let it go on for so long. I bit my tongue. I didn't say nothing. And now it blows up into something big versus us trying to tackle little issue by little issue, talk about it, speak about it so we can both be open, so we can both know what's going on, so that we can grow every single relationship.
You were talking earlier about like just the growth. I think so many people, what's hindering them from growing is being mature enough to agree to disagree. Do you know how many times we have had a conversation where it didn't always end up
I mean, no, we've had a couple conversations where I'd be like, well, I don't know if this big girl I might not have said what he wanted to necessarily hear.
Right.
But in those conversations, even before we, like, she was talking about stuff going in your family, and you were just projecting going on, and I was like, bruh.
Yeah.
Like, I let you talk about it before,
yeah,
then,
you
but
did.
Then after a while, I was like,
yeah,
like, please, will
yeah.
you stop?
Yeah, you
like,
did. You did.
On me, that
but you know what?
Energy.
I promised you. When you first did it, I was like, damn, you know, that's kind of, you know, rude. You my girl. You supposed to listen. But when I got away from you, I was like, damn, that's so true. You hear me? Like, but you know how many people would have not said that?
Man, do you know how many times I have... Damn, I was feeling good before they came. And that's why I said, instead of us sitting around just talking about stuff,
right,
this is
right.
more productive
right.
to do it like this.
Right.
Because we have dope conversations
right.
about everything up under the sun
yeah.
that's very elaborate. And it's no reason why it can't be just a tad bit more productive. So we're just not talking. Like, we're talking and we're learning. But how can us talking and learning be extended to something deeper, something more, something that's going to or could possibly change somebody's life or change the world even? You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I think what we're doing right now, what we're doing right now, every step of getting this information out, you know what I'm saying, or talking about having real conversations like this,
I mean, yeah.
Because you know what? You'll be surprised how many people don't even actually talk. You know, I was
man,
telling you
a
that
lot
early.
Of people don't know each other. Even people to get married, they don't know each like deep core issues. They be so surface level and very, you know what I'm saying? And then something hard comes or something hit them, and then they don't know which way they don't know how to function. They hadn't, you know what I'm saying? Talked about like, I would almost say I wish I would have talked about having kids more and before, but I never thought that I would be with somebody that wasn't
a phenomenal parent.
It's a situation that You didn't have your dad, so
right.
you know how that
right.
should feel. Like,
right.
I mean, why wouldn't you want to go over and above?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Don't let just enough be everything. Feed some into it. You know what I'm saying? Do a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? Beyond.
To be even more. Right, right. Well, you know what? I'm going to speak about, like, LeBron James, right? You know, a lot of people get that dude a lot of facts, but I salute because that same thing right there, you know, talk about how it was him and his mother, but with his children, he's trying to be a phenomenal father. You know what I'm saying? He's doing everything he can, like, not just be there a little more, but, like, yo, be involved in that, whatever they have going on.
Still have a full-time.
A full life.
He's traveling, and
right.
he's doing, and it is so cute. Why is not
right.
in his children
right.
and his wife?
Right, right.
Even
right.
if they have to have time apart, and they're not gonna be everywhere all the time, he still makes the effort to make everything be like he's still there,
like he's
and
there.
That's the
exactly.
difference.
Exactly, man.
But in so many cases, and this goes back to what we were saying as far as people not addressing stuff or people not correcting their children and all of that, it kind of goes back to that religious type of thing where it's just enough. And anything that is going to be more than the norm is,
right.
you know,
right.
well, if I don't have to, I'm doing just, everybody do just enough to get into heaven, but don't nobody want to go beyond that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Nobody want
right.
mansions. Nobody want to. You know what I'm saying? They just want to get into though.
Well, you know what? And it's crazy. We were just talking about earlier how school is a business. Church is a business.
Oh, my God.
To the point of a pastor is like, why? I'm not going to – he's not going to call out his members.
I'm not going to tell you the real.
Yeah, but he's not going to call out his members because they won't come. And if they don't come, then they don't put it. You know,
it's a mixture. If you teach them too much,
right?
And then some pastors don't know more than what their grandparents and told them, and if it's out of that book right there, no matter what history says, no matter what can be proven to be untrue. I'm telling you, when I tell you this earlier today, somebody wrote a comment, made a post, and I reposted it. He blocked me now, though. So somebody made this comment. It was like, nobody is perfect. Jesus is the only person that was perfect in the world, and that he didn't strive to be perfect, which I understood the message, but Jesus wasn't perfect. And so Jesus wasn't perfect as a human being. Like, as a regular person, he ran away from home. He did everything that the spiritual leaders and the churches said don't do. He was healing when he wasn't supposed to be healing. They said don't be with the sinners. He was with the sinners. He was doing that. He had the two women that didn't leave his house. And with the two people that found him when he rose, you know what I'm saying? Like, and he met the hoe at the well. Like, I think maybe it was the delivery, because I wasn't saying it like, you know, and he does this and, you know, but I'm like Jesus wasn't perfect. He may have not been with sin, but being without sin is just, he did exactly what God sent him on earth to do, regardless of what anybody told him to do. Not that he didn't do nothing wrong, because they killed him because he did something wrong.
Yeah.
This nigga, I don't know. He said I didn't have the facts. So he was like, you know.
But you know what? Most people
like,
that post or put it out there, they don't have a lot of the facts. If you question just the post that he made, like you said, he deleted you or he blocked you or whatever, they take one piece of information or, a small amount of information.
Yeah, but the Bible, just using the Bible as the philosophy for your whole entire life without any further research is such a disservice to God. I'm talking about historical facts. I'm talking about on a soul level. I'm talking about every way possible. It's good to have that book. But what I realized the other day when I did my research and I looked to see when the Bible was first published in the middle of slavery times. Like, it was published then. So that means in the core grit of slavery, they decided to put this book together. Now, the thing is my perspective is that it could have been written as a guidebook to learn how to overcome the situation that you was in, but it's written in such a way to where you wouldn't know that this is what it is unless you open up your mind to that type of, you know what I'm saying, thought process. Any other type of any other way, you're going to just think that this book is what this is saying. When if you really look at it on a soul, spiritual level, it's really telling you how to get out of bondage and how Jesus came to get you out of bondage. But people want to worship Jesus versus seeing what he did to be free and seeing what he did to make these certain acts. And it's just, you know, it's a lot. And
you know what?
All those things go back into how people raise their family.
Right.
It goes back into, like, how people are with their, like I was telling somebody the other day, I was talking to somebody that's close to me, and I was like, you have to make sure that you don't put ministry before your family, because there's a lot of people that they start servicing the community and doing things for others, and then they forget about their own household,
and then
that household is going without, and then even though you're there, even though you're dad, even though you're a provider, even though you are doing everything in your power to make your family strive and be well, you are neglecting your family by not taking care of your family, keeping your family close, and then you're opening up your – this is how you get a little girl that's open up to go be with R. Kelly. And then the whole time your little girl is doing stuff and you're in denial because, oh, no, they would never do this, or, you know what I'm saying, like.
It's denial, but it's also not wanting to face your truth. Meaning, like, if as a father, if you're doing what you're supposed to and being there and teaching your daughter, right, you know, and giving her the affection, the love, you hear me, the attention that she seeks and she needs, you hear me, to grow and be emotionally stable, she's gonna go seek it. She's gonna go seek it. So I don't even think it's so much like, you know, you're in denial, no, she's not doing it. You don't want to look at yourself. You don't want to look at yourself. And that's the thing, I think, with most human beings. That's even like the conversation we were just talking about, for them saying.
But that's that the I call it Christian denial or religious type of denial, because instead of addressing real life scenarios, the things that you're really going through, you would rather pray and put it on the back burner and act like God does magic tricks and that something is just going to voila and happen. Like earlier, somebody else made a post and said, God is going to put your name in somebody's ear and things is going to turn around. And I'm like, why would you cite scripture? Like, how does that happen? Because That like, it's a given. If right now God told somebody, Casey Myers, go find Casey Myers, what if I don't look like what they think that I should look like?
Right.
What if I'm not doing the things that they think that I should be doing, or if I'm a little bit out? And if it means that I have to always be trying to impress somebody in order to get something, that's not God.
Right. It's crazy. Well, you know, I have no religious preference, but I have no religious preference for that reason. It's so, people's view, the whole thing is distorted. You know, it's like a bucket with holes in it. You can't carry water if you got holes all in the bucket. It's going to leak out. There's too many holes in that bucket, you know, for me to put my water in. No. I have no religion. I don't knock nobody because, hey, everybody believe in something, and, hey, at the end of the day, everyone has a right, they're entitled to their own opinions and beliefs, but that's one of my biggest reasons for having no religious preference, because it's distorted. It's distorted.
Yeah, it's no factual history from everything that I've learned and read and did my research on. It's a lot of Egyptian culture taken, and the mystical parts of that culture kind of taken and used and manipulated to rule over people more than it is to actually help people become the best versions of themselves. Especially in the way that it's used now, where the focus is build a big building, get a lot of people to come, and
they take it and twist it and manipulate it to where it suits them best.
I mean, but I don't know if that's them being naive, or if, because I believe that it's a lot of pastors and preachers that don't go and do any further research than outside of that Bible. And if it does not say it in that Bible, that concordance, or one of those books that can be purchased from Family Life Christian Center, whatever the hell, the name of the Christian, baby, then they ain't trying to hear it, and they don't want to see it, they don't want to talk about it. And if you say something about it that's different, then you're the devil. See, but that's the part that makes religion wrong, that I don't think that people realize.
Well,
like,
you know what? Jesus, my wife went to the Lord.
Huh?
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, what you were
saying? No, what I was going to say, speaking on, you know, that religion, my wife went to New Orleans about 3 weeks ago, and they did a tour. You know, that's like voodoo. They say, you know, voodoo is witchcraft, right? But it's actually when Africans came from Africa, what we did, they did certain things like, okay, if you had a family member that passed that you loved, you would take their hair maybe and tie it into some, you know, just to, as a remembrance of them.
But if people, if somebody know that something keeps somebody's soul or spirit alive, they're going to take it and try to make it into something that they're going to pervert the information that they're getting to try to use it for
something that it's not intended to. The Caucasians of America, it wasn't one of their traditions, the English or whatever, the Spaniards and the French. It wasn't their tradition, so, and they didn't want it to go on, so they labeled it voodoo. Oh, this is bad. You hear me? This is against Christianity, and gave it this taboo bad thing, but it's actually, voodoo wasn't actually voodoo.
Well, that's half of it. That's just like the half of the things that's in Egypt that they say is evil,
right,
aren't really evil. A lot of, man, so many things, especially I've looked into indigenous culture and what life was like pre-colonialization.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what their spiritual beliefs were and the things like that, which really opened up your mind to what it was before they told you to be a Christian.
Right, right. Well, I was just looking a minute ago, I Googled. It's a book that says How to Be a Negro Christian. It's out there. And like you said, this Bible was published right around the time of slavery. But it's a book actually, it's by Dr. Reverend Charles Colcock Jones. You can Google it. It says, How to Make a Negro Christian. Christianity was basically forced.
No, the whole, if even a little bit of Birth of a Nation was remotely the truth, then it was literally used to
control,
to help them, to keep them under control and to keep them cool and passive about whatever the situation was and hope that somebody would come back and save them from all of their enemies, or that they would die in the state that they were in, and when they got to heaven, then on the afterlife,
they would get their reward,
they would get all the rewards.
Right, right. Well, you know what? That's kind of like also the movie Root. In the early parts of the movie, when the Africans buried their people, they put little cups and little, you know, little things that they wanted their family to take with them. In that movie, they got beat. They got beat for that. You know, a lot of their culture was stripped away from them. You know what I mean? And this was forced on them to say. That's why I just say, like, man, religion altogether, I think it's set to govern, you know? Don't get me wrong. I believe that, like, I believe in science. Science is something that you can see. And that kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier. Like, if you can see it, then you know it's there. And what I mean as far as science, I can't say that man evolved from monkeys, you hear me? But in all honesty.
But you know that he ain't come out of damn dirt. I mean,
right,
now, I
right.
will tell you this. I did some research that said that a living organism can be birthed in any type of warm type of environment. So if by chance type of sperm can get to the right type of it's like if you put taking a baby out, like if the environment is the way for it to be created, like you could put if a sperm gets created
right.
from my arm,
yeah.
if sperm gets in my arm, it can create the skin tissue and
caught
up from nowhere,
or this person just put everybody here all of a sudden. Like, it's just, it's kind of like that bucket with holes.
I mean, absolutely.
Right.
and life on.
Yeah.
And I have theories on how Lee may have been the spark of Earth. If Earth is like was like an animal planet, which first animal, then maybe there was aliens that came, and then the way that my understanding of how the soul works be to find a vessel to be on this planet, and so in conspiring with kind of biology, if a giraffe, a
right.
monkey,
right.
eventually in nature,
evolution, eventually something will be produced from that. Yeah.
And the nature of if you are in survival mode and you adapt to a family like Jungle Book, or Tarzan, or something like that, it's very easy for that boy in that environment to go and then mate with one of those animals and make a different type of being.
Yeah.
So it's easy for something that may dinosaur, like a dinosaur up there, or like you have monkeys, but then you have the bears that are different type of, but clearly that are all types of different shapes and beings that look like they could.
Right. Well, you know,
mixed
what?
Species that have come together and evolved into
this
human.
Like, I think, for example, some even closer to me, like, you know, I've always had a dog. But it's species of dogs that are here today that weren't around.
No, because they are making these animals
right.
to be.
Through breeding and evolution, you get this new species of an animal. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of like with the Noah's Ark thing, right? It'd be like.
And put those animals together, eventually, if some of those animals made it. I mean, like, when I think, but from. How the dinosaurs eventually got extinct it's the process of life, because I was there humans when there were dinosaurs? I stayed everywhere, or was that in a specific portion of the world? Like, because I have seen a map where all the land that's on the earth does fit together, and you know, like, but of course you can Photoshop something and make it look good. But who's to say that the map that we wouldn't really look like?
Right.
Like, what was it before they called Africa Africa? What made them call it Africa? Like,
right.
what was Germany before it became Germany? Like, what was it named? What
but
was
the
territory?
You know,
like, how did they reference that before it
became? But you know what? What I'm sitting here thinking now, and I'm just like, this is what's so cool about. There are so many unanswered questions. How can one sit and just say, oh, this is it? You know what I mean? This is it, and this is how it is. You know? Or how can someone sit and not seek more knowledge, you know, more knowledge, more understanding, you know, kind of like with that religion thing, what we're talking about, right? You know what I mean? I can't even begin to think, like, how can you just say, okay, this is it, and that's totally how it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the religion aspect of it's more of what freed me from being religious. Like, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe even if he walked the way that the story is told, I can believe that those things happen to the brown skin, woolly hair person that they described in the book, because right now, today, if a brown-skinned, woolly-haired person start talking too much about anything too deep, and especially in those times, I mean, that slavery, that was like when they was cutting people's heads off, you know, like, so I could definitely believe who Jesus was. I also believe that Jesus Christ is a state of mindset that is not, he was not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the spiritual oneness you have when you get with Christ. They just gave him that title or that name. Like, if humans didn't speak, like, before words became a thing, then what would we, how would we address each other? It wouldn't be a title if humans learning language. If we would not have developed language, then what would it be? It would, he wouldn't have a name. It would just be who he was and what he did.
Well, you know what? A couple of years ago, probably about 10 years ago, I met some guys from New York, you know, and I was in a barbershop. They had a barbershop in Gwinnett County. So they were talking about African liberation. And this guy, Dr. York, you know, and so I you know, because I, like I said, I've been chosen no religious preference. You know, I've been feeling this way probably for about 15 years at least, I know. But anyway, so I was, at this point, I was like, oh, I'm into all the knowledge that's out there, you know, and the research, you know, wide open. So anyway, I listened to Dr. York. And what he's, one thing that he talked about, which, you know, they call it African liberation, but one thing that he talked about was this right here, exactly what you just said. Real African, we didn't go as far as to say his name is this, this is what he did, you know, this is how you should be. We just recognize that God is. You understand what I'm saying? But we are not going to go as far as to say his name is Allah, his name is, you know, Jesus, his name is Buddha, you know, because that was, that's kind of what you're talking about. They put that name in that, in this story. This is the right story, you know. Because
yeah,
I'm
trying
I,
to bottleneck it and make it be what they need. Well, but any narrative that you, it's like they, but they do it in mainstream media now. They
right.
give the narrative to everything they want us to believe, whether it was R. Kelly, whether it was the
oh
white guy
God.
That went and
yes.
shot the plane there. And see, but a lot of things. A lot of this stems back to not addressing things
exactly.
at a very immediate
exactly.
level, because everything is swept up under a rug until it becomes, you know, this big old thing.
Well, you know what?
Like,
I had somebody that asked me the other day. She was like, oh, well, what do you think about this R. Kelly situation? I was somewhat pissed because it was like, okay, why you didn't ask me this when it came to Woody Allen? You know, Elvis Presley, you know.
I mean, like,
but,
listen.
But even more than that, I told her, I ended up telling her, I think it's fucked up, period. You know what I mean? Like, pedophilia, to me, my personal opinion is it's not right. You know what I mean? Like, but this person that was mentioning it, you hear me? Like, you know, was ridiculing, just like cutting his throat. And I'm like, yo.
Listen, this is the thing. Because of where I'm from, I know.
Right.
And I know parents
right.
that will go and try to fuck with R. Kelly right
now
if they think it's a check involved. And they going to be that same age, and they going to think, ooh, we got a chance. We going to go turn
exactly.
them. All we got to do is get in the, to buy it on the bait, and it's a go.
Right.
So, like, a lot of people are very sympathetic and like, oh, he's just taking advantage, and he did, like, what he's doing is the same thing every other single man do to run game on whatever hottie he going to be with.
Hey, you know what?
He's not doing, like, it's not like, oh, they're 14.
Look,
I'm going to try it
look.
Because I know they're young and naive. It's, no, they up in my face dancing,
right.
twerking,
right.
all the candy,
right.
ooh,
right.
ooh, ooh. And their parents is like,
do you know how many
okay,
women,
you can go.
Do you know how many women that I've met in my lifetime that they lost their virginity, you know, 15, 16. But guess who they lost their virginity to? Someone that was well over 18 or 21.
It's not uncommon.
That's
it's
what
not
I'm
uncommon.
So my thing was, like, to her when she said it, I'm like, how can you cast, you know, how dare you?
Like,
just,
because he's R. Kelly, he's
right,
supposed to be different. Like,
right.
A 19-year-old and a, like, okay, now, if you're talking about, you 30 and you dating a 16-year-old. Like, I dated somebody that was kind of old and I was young, but I was very, when I say I was mature for my age, I approached him. I made the advances. I let him know that it was okay, and my conversation was like I was his age. Like,
you were the aggressor.
A 14 or 15 year old. However, when you turn 16, when you turn 17, 18, you have.
You're feeling like you grown. Right. College, yeah.
And your ass is trying to get
well,
you
back hey,
especially if you ain't got the right damn.
You damn right. You
mean,
especially if you ain't got
right.
A mother that's there teaching you and a father that's there nurturing you. You mean,
I don't
you
think
damn right.
I'm supposed to be cussing as much, but.
Oh, I'm
yeah.
sorry. yeah. But hey, that's like that song Life Jennings made. What it was, oh my God, what it was? When You Lick Your Lips. You know, Life Jennings made a song about a young girl, you hear me? You know, getting old, you hear me, your hips, you know, and guys want to take. I mean, this thing has been going on for
I
years.
I mean, like, listen, I'm going to be honest with you.
It
the first
is.
Time that my first sexual encounter or somebody's being sexually aggressive towards me was probably before I can remember. I remember 4, 5, 7. I remember this one girl, her cousin, I just been out of her house, you have to sleep with your legs locked because every time you spent the night, it didn't matter if it was his cousin. The only person he didn't try was his sister, but everybody else, and he was like 15,
right.
16, and we was like 9, 10,
hey, right,
maybe
right,
11.
Right.
And it was like, bruh, like if we did not sleep with our legs closed, like I'm talking about like wrapped and tight, like you twist your fingers up to say your promise.
And I want to say for the record, I do not agree with what he did, you know, what R. Kelly chose to do. But all I'm saying is, like, yo, don't.
When you get grown, though, after you get to a certain age, your parents can't call the cops just
right.
because you don't want to come
don't
home.
Don't act like it's
you're
not
grown.
Coming. Don't act like it's not happening every day. But that goes back to what we were talking about when, you know, being a parent.
Mm-hmm. Being able to speak to your kids, talk to
right.
your kids, tell them when they're right and they're wrong.
Right. Right, exactly.
Because if you can't talk to your kids, correct your kids, then baby, you setting them up for world trouble. And then some kids want to be corrected, and then the parents just don't do it.
I love running into a so-called what people say, oh, that's a bad kid, because I'll sit there for a second and I'll watch him, and then I'll use the deflection of my voice.
And
you
will see where it's neglect. And then they're doing stuff for attention, or the, you know,
all they want is attention.
Most times,
that's it. To the point to where,
but the balanced type of attention, because when I think of like
right.
the movie Prodigy, where somebody is just oh so smart, and it can be it turned into something bad. And I didn't saw the previews, the trailer for in the movies, other movies that I've gone to. It made me think, because if you have a super talented, gifted child, if you do not give them the right type of environment and the right type of...
If you're not correctly stimulating their mind, it will go sideways because they'll get bored.
But then it's like got to be a happy medium, because you have people that just over the top, they'll send their kids to boarding school, they'll do all this extra shit, and it'll only be
hey,
bad kids.
Hey, you
they just don't
want
to deal with their own kids.
You know what I said? I said to properly stimulate them, right? You know what I mean? Getting rid of them or giving them a whole lot to do
is not always
that,
the
that's
answer.
Not, you know, but I'm saying when – I was just at my cousin's house the other day, and I saw his son. And it was crazy because I told him, I was like, his son was doing crazy, you know, yelling, da-da-da-da-da. And he'd be like, man, be quiet. And the little kid was laughing, like laughing that he got a reaction out of his dad, right? But his dad didn't extinguish the behavior. He allowed it to keep going on. And I was standing there, and I said this just to see with something click in his father's head that, like, of what's going on. I said, I said,
probably just oblivious to the fact that
his son played. I said, that little dude was something else, man. I said, he want attention. You know what his dad is saying? That's all. And I'm thinking, well,
Why aren't you giving it to him? Effective attention. Go catch with him. Go do something to help him get the energy off of
him.
Giving
him is not the top of attention because he studied repeating his behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you not adjusting? You know, I mean, but that goes back to man. As a father, the mistakes I've made, the things I've learned, the experiences I've had, right? I'm going to share that. But I'm also going to forever do my damnedest to evolve and be the best father I can be. You know what I mean? I cannot say, okay, well, hey, my father wasn't here for this. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to do it a little bit. You know what I mean? No, I got to try to be the best father I can be. And even with that, we are all human. We come up short, but at least you got to try, man. It blew my mind the other day when I told him, and his response was like, basically, yeah, I know, you know, he didn't address it. He didn't address it.
But that goes to when you think about people, the mindset, that a person's mindset has to be set progressively, has to be wanting to grow, because no matter where you are, you can, like, I had somebody wanted to come here and stay here with me. And it was little things that I was suggesting that they do where they were at. Like, hey, so if you're serious, then why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Like, do you have a vision board? Like, little things that coming into this environment, the way I live and the things that I do, these are the things that I do to help me get in the right direction and help me get to where I am now. So these are some of the things that you should do. Everybody doesn't need a business plan.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody doesn't need the elaborate fixings to start out. It's just the
basic. One step at a time, hit it that way. Yes.
So then when it comes time to, I want to come down there, and it's like, did you do any of the things that you were supposed to do? Because,
no.
And I'm not saying that like I'm trying to mother you, but if you're doing the things there, then you're going to come down here and do it.
Right.
You're not going to just automatically why and you come here
you
and now all of these things are just going, you're going to,
it's going to change for you.
It's going to happen.
No, you have to be doing it wherever you are.
That mindset has to be there
way before. Right.
Because
I agree.
Because it's the building part that gets you to wanting to really do it, though. Like, you don't even really want to do nothing. I mean, it's a lot of people that want to do things. But it's getting the research, understanding the process, learning what it will take. The part in the Bible where it says count the cost. It's knowing what it's going to take in order to get to the end destination that really makes a difference. If you don't know what it's going to take, that's why when people say, man, the struggle, man, you know, the struggle. And I'm thinking, like, what struggle? Trust the process. The process is hard. Did you not think about what it was going to take before you got here? Because I knew when I said I wanted to be a life coach, and I specifically told myself I wanted to help celebrities because they are the least likely to be able to get help in the news, on the spot, and all they out in the open.
Oh, my God.
When I said I wanted to do that, and I said that I was going to do it for free, and everybody looked at me like I was crazy, I already knew it was going to be crazy. I already knew that it was going to look stupid, and it wasn't going to make sense. And I didn't know what you know what I'm saying, how it was going to play out. I already knew that it was going to be people that might not like me. Shit,
yeah.
I've been not like my whole goddamn life, you know, like, what was going to change it? Because I was deciding to do business, and a business in an unconditional and knew that as I'm enduring it, I'm thinking, like, I calculated this happened. I calculated for this. The only thing that I didn't calculate, like being in the ICU when I had that goddamn surgery. You know what I mean?
Right,
I calculated needing time to heal.
Yeah.
I calculated needing to heal in these areas. I calculated what it was. Now, I didn't know how long each
day. But you had a great idea, a great sense of
every
the
time,
process.
Yeah, I got a general idea of everything that and what it would take to get to the next level, and how I'm going to finesse the next level for me, because my next level may not be the next person's next level. Like,
right, right.
And I kind of had this hidden debate with people a lot. And it's like a lot of people think that just because you're making millions, that's the, like, if you ain't making millions, you ain't in business.
Right.
If you in business making millions but you're not happy, that's even worse because it's some things that I don't want to trade with. Life don't seem like it's
right.
You. And it's some things that I literally would not change.
Would not
and it's because you got millions don't mean I want to swap your life.
No.
So, you know, and that, but that's the part that a lot of people miss, especially in the culture that we've been established in up until this point. And I say it like that because my goal is to literally.
But you.
If. Huh?
Oh, no. What I was going to say was this right here. We went back to earlier, you know, we was talking about when we started this about how environment, right? In a certain environment, like what you're saying, right? In most environments, what you're saying, they're like, oh, they're gonna look at you crazy. They're gonna, you know what I mean? They're gonna ridicule you. They're gonna chop you. You hear me? Oh, she's out there. She's crazy. But in the proper environment, it will be flourish. You know, it will flourish. It will, you know, yeah. But yeah, no, we ran a short, so.
Well, I mean, like,
I just use that time to kind of tie into the environment, how we were talking earlier about being in the right environment or putting your children in the right environment.
It doesn't really exist, though. There is no proper or perfect environment. It's a mindset.
You're so right. Well,
because
yeah, that's okay.
No matter where you go, your mind is going with you. So if you don't open your mind to something that is bigger and better and more out there than you, if you're not willing to learn,
right?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, your environment, listen, goes back to even what I just said about millionaire. You could be a millionaire, your environment can change, but if your mindset is the same, then you debunk the whole, like, a lot of people want to start businesses. Starting a business is great, but if you don't change the soul core nature of your soul, then starting a business will not change your problems because you're just putting this business on top of the, whatever issues that you had going on that you're not really addressing because now you're doing this business.
Okay, with that, would you say that this right here, right? Okay, like in this environment, say, you know, we were talking about the steps, right? Taking the proper steps, right? In this environment, if you can't take, say, step one, right? Because of the environment you're in, right? You hear me? It doesn't allow it, that's like being in prison and me wanting to be or needing to be, you know, in a place totally different from prison, right? Me taking that first step is kind of like a wasted step, or not so much a wasted step. It is a wasted step if I'm in an environment where I can't see the benefit of taking that step. Kind of like what you were saying, like, okay, hey, I tell them, hey, look, you need to, you know, maybe you should think about this. Maybe you should think about that. If they're in the wrong environment to where, say they try it, they take your advice and they try it, and not just one time, say they try it two or three times, right? The more they try it, the less they're likely to keep trying it because that environment doesn't allow them to take those steps.
I mean, it depends because it depends on the person and that person's mindset because even, like, me leaving to go to the military, I was
right.
in a horrible environment. Like, I was living
right.
in the projects at the time. I'm talking about I don't think I was, like, had a boyfriend, but one of the guys that were, like, my friends, and I was telling them I was going to the Army. It's like, well, why would you do that? Like, go
right.
fight
yeah.
the white man's war. And I'm thinking, like, nigga, we all live in America.
Well,
what are
yeah.
you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, what the white man's war is?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
what do you mean? We
yeah.
we here. Like, see. Well, so, but despite the fact that I was in a very bad environment, and I'll say 97% and I was in jail or had a whole bunch of kids or suffering or whatever. The fact that I was able to, and I have to give credit to my grandmother and the things that she did, you know, as an activist, that probably exposed me to be who I am, because that exposure and being around all that shit that she was doing with her political, I'm sure that probably helped out a bit. But at the end of the day, I had to be able to say, okay, I can either take this shit that I'm seeing, and I can, you know what I'm saying, end up in a worse position, or just be here not doing nothing, or I can figure out what I'm going to do to change my lifestyle. Because there's people that still live there that still do well, that may not have the factory-type job, or it may, the plans may have changed, and they're still there progressing. So but then there are also the people that they just, it's not
going to
happen.
Well, no, I totally agree with you. I think my mom told me a while, I think I was like 20, 22. She told me, she was like, son, no matter where you go, you follow you. Which, no matter where you go, you follow you. Which is the truth. You know what I mean? Bottom line, that's the truth. Because, but I just say that I feel like that's just like with you. You knew even at a young age, for you to even remember those events, for as your grandmother, you knew that, hey, this ain't how it, you know, this ain't.
I mean, no, because I was in the street.
We be in the streets, but because we're in the streets don't mean that we don't think, right? You know what I mean? You know, it's some people in the streets that, hey, are intelligent as hell.
I mean, no, I believe one of the things that I'm purposed to do is to help people convert what they do in the streets into something that's a legit business that they can prosper, because any person that can hustle in the street can run a Fortune 500 company with no problem.
Right.
Because especially when you sell drugs,
and
you get runners and all of that. You are running a business,
you're running a company,
and you don't even know that you have the capacity to be a millionaire. You just got to meet the right people so they can tell you the right things so you can get right. But a lot of people, either from exposure, because
but you know what, you gotta see it
from the hood, is gonna listen to this. You know what I'm saying? How many know to listen to it? Unless this is me being self corrected. Unless they able to see it. You know what I'm saying? But it has to be enough people that's willing to spread a message like this. I can't to everybody, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't help everybody that needs somebody like me. It got to be somebody that needs somebody like somebody else too,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
And
I don't want to be greedy. I don't want to talk to everybody, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to be, you know what I'm saying, I don't want to be that person for everybody. There are people that I am assigned to be that person too, and I don't want to take that upon it and be like, okay, well, you know what I'm saying, because social media out here, I'm just going to run and take the money and make it go. Being an inspiration and helping people life change be a business. And it is a business, but my profit is not to be just finances. You know what I'm saying? I really want to change the environment. In 10 years, I want to be able to be like, man, you remember shit was nothing like this. You remember people used to be negative. Now people are all positive and chilling and shit. You know what I'm saying? I want it to be something that I can live through, something that I help curate the cultural change. So, I mean, that's my mindset. And I know that we talked about, like, it's hard to find people with the right mindset, but I'm telling you, I don't talk to a lot of people. I don't have a lot of physical person-to-person people come over my house relationships, because I'm not going to waste my time with somebody that I cannot have a great conversation with. And then for me, the challenge is, if I have guys in my life and they have girls, then I have to be okay that their girl is okay with me being in their, you know what I'm saying, lives. Because if I'm your friend, I don't want to just be your friend. I'm going to be you and your wife's friend,
because that's your
wife. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if we don't, I can't really be your friend because that's your wife.
Yeah, that's your wife.
But the other thing is with single males is having them to be able to stay my male single friend. We don't have to mess around.
Hey, but you know
I mean, and I don't mind flirting. I like flirting with my friends sometimes, you know, every time. And see, when they're single, you say little shit here and there just to, you know, just you be talking shit. It's y'all single. That's
right. But you know what? Men go through that same thing.
See, but the thing is we don't hear that men have a problem finding intellectual conversations to discuss things with women because most men just want titties and ass and they want to spend a little cash.
I swear. You know what? We ain't got long, right? But I swear that's a misconception. You know what? Don't get me wrong. You got knuckleheads out there. That's just like with women. You got what they call thoughts or whatever, right? You hear me? But that's kind of like saying every woman, you know, if
I'm
she
not
wears
saying
that
every man.
No. Just what I'm saying. If she wears something sexy, she wants attention, right? You hear me? No, she wears something sexy because that's what she
that's
likes
she
that. And that's, you know, that doesn't mean that she wants you to jump all over her and be all, you know what I mean? So,
see, but so many men, like, this is. That we definitely gonna have to do another show.
Oh yeah,
reconvene this because this particular topic is a topic to be discussed because in so many instances it's a misconception of what men want, what women want.
Right.
Mainly because of what we listen to in our music,
right.
What we enjoy, because I like I think it's because as adults we know better,
right? Yeah.
But when you're teaching, when you're talking about younger, as the kids get younger, and shoot, just the generation behind us, they already thrown off because you got a lot of people that was either raised by their parents who didn't have a lot of control. Or their parents weren't around and they worked a lot and they was on their own. Or their parents were super overprotective and had them in everything. And then now they're so codependent on being around people that they can't even stand on their own.
Right.
They don't know how to go home and be home by themselves.
Well, you know what? Even music. Because, like, that's like the songs that we heard. We heard songs of, like, love and, like,
companionship. Yeah, but I don't think that people realize that we are summoning what we are, especially when we go to concerts and stuff, we are summoning, I won't say the spirit of whatever, but we're summoning that
energy
of whatever
that
it
energy,
is that
right,
we are singing.
Correct.
So the more that we summon that particular type of energy, the more we're going to produce that. And that's why I'd be trying to tell, like, even when I was telling you about all the stuff that you were saying that was negative, like, if you hone in on the negative, we're just going to keep getting more negative.
Right.
You're going to be able to continue to find more negative things.
Right.
But if you take a minute and you just focus on the positive, you even try to change your perspective to see things a little bit differently, it totally changes everything. And that's the biggest thing. Okay, so before we go, I want to thank you for coming to the show and being a part. This was a great conversation. It started out kind of interview-ish.
Yeah.
And I was trying not to go for that. And then it turned into something really great. Of course, you're always.
Definitely. I will definitely be back.
Male issues. Women are, you know, misinformed about men. So we're going to allow you to come back and inform us about men and the reality of what y'all
really want
as a species for and what y'all want. And the difference between the narrative of what's being presented versus the reality of life. Okay.
All right, take care.
That's it. That's the show. All right. I just want to thank everybody for listening. This is one of the best shows that I've enjoyed myself, and I hope that you all come back and listen to the next episode with Speaking Freedom and Friends. Ark is my homeboy. He's been my homeboy for a long time. His family, I've known his wife forever, and we really had fun today. So see you soon. See you on the next episode.
We are kings. We are gods. How you get them to believe it when they don't believe in anything? We're gonna save some lives in this lifetime. We have been church in a while.
Like God's doctor in these streets, the Holy Ghost used me to set them free. If love is the new religion, the hate is sinning, we stay winning. Just handling God's business, we ain't tripping. No bread to be dipping, disloyalty, get you to me missing.
If you was looking and needed to know, I am the boss and the top general. Favorite position, I say CEO. Ha 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 ha, if you didn't know.
What Speaking Freedom does online is provide general information for the culture to use to advance and improve. What we do privately is help individualize it for your needs and benefits. Grow with us.
Question advised. We look forward to working with you and assisting with all of your life enhancement goals. Thank you for trusting Good Head Group, Love Gang, and Speaking Freedom. We thank God for you and love you.
Speaking Freedom. Speaking freedom, giving you the answer to be free, be free, be free, 'cause we're speaking freedom, and we're live, online, for my KC.
This is Speaking Freedom, and we love the world.
My mommy, she's my hero. She's the greatest in the whole world.
This has been a Speaking Freedom production.